I want to say a word, and I want you, whoever feels like it, to respond and say what it means to you.
Faith.
Without knowing.
Commitment.
Anybody else? I'm not talking about a religious answer. I'm talking about what you think about when you hear the word faith.
Waiting. Think of God.
Total dependence.
Trust. Backflip off diaper.
Anybody else?
Without knowing sacred peace.
Mm-hmm. Without knowing?
Yeah, that sounds like blind. I didn't like my answer.
No, but I mean, I don't care what you, I don't want, so I said, that's why faith, to most of you, to most people in the world, faith is either one of two things. It's either blind faith, or it's a medium of exchange, where you get stuff if you have faith. Now, faith is kind of important. It says, faith is the opposite of doubt. And faith, obviously it says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. It says, faith cometh by hearing.
Sounds to me like it's synonymous with knowledge instead of without knowing.
Knowledge of what?
Well, knowledge of who you can take.
Romans 5. Now, Romans 4. Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that, or in order that, every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, we've talked 1,000 times about the two spheres of life, law, grace. Law, grace. And so, grace is the desirable place to be. The question is, how do you get there from here? Now, I told you, again, many times, that the moment you have a propensity to think about changing yourself, that you're no longer under grace, but law. But you always think about changing yourself. There's always something about you that you wish were different. Right? Or is there... Am I talking to spiritual giants? What? Let's talk about that a minute. I want you to be honest.
You want us to articulate what things we want changed?
I just want, you know, everybody except Pete, because we all know what Pete wants, but... Now, what is it? What would you change in your environment or in your circumstances about yourself? What do you think about when you get up and look at yourself in the morning, or when you you're confronted with something? What are the things that bother you about yourself?
I can answer that in terms of, maybe this is what you're saying, I can answer that in terms of what I think should be changed about me. But I mean, in terms of what I think, yeah, what I think is wrong, I think I should be nicer.
I do too.
Not act nicer, but be nicer. That's I think cool. I shouldn't think a lot of the things I think, I shouldn't feel a lot of the things I feel.
What do you think? What do you mean?
I'm always observing other people's behavior and grading it. I'm always observing amounts of...
What?
Amounts of...
Wait a minute. What's everybody laughing at?
What's going on?
Daryl's a
sister.
Okay.
I'm always observing amounts of stuff and saying there is enough stuff or there isn't enough stuff. How long will the stuff last, and who's using too much stuff? It's as if I see the world in terms of quantities and types of behavior and quantities and types of resources. And I'm always looking at them and monitoring them and trying to interpolate where it's going and how it should be adjusted. And that kind of, I've always got one eye on the gas tank. I think that should be changed, and I wish it didn't exist because it drives me crazy. But it also gives me something to do.
Anybody
makes
else?
Me feel important. Stuff.
Anybody else?
I would like to not be so stupidly impulsive all the time.
What?
That's what I said. I'm always doing some idiot thing. Or my perception of it is always doing some idiot thing.
What's the difference between...
Or driving too fast, or cutting somebody off, and then flipping them off, and then even big fight with them, or, you know...
What's the difference between spontaneity and impulsiveness?
All right. I wish I wasn't always doing some compulsive thing.
There is a difference between compulsive and spontaneity.
That's why I'm saying the difference.
No, but there's no... But is there any difference between impulsive and spontaneity?
I don't know.
Well, I suppose there isn't if you don't judge it, but I judge it.
Yeah, the thing that's the difference between impulsive behavior and compulsive behavior is faith.
So you don't want to have faith anymore, Daryl? Yeah, I say some really dumb things. I'd like to be nice on the
podcast. You're on this faith that doesn't work.
I've
had enough. You're like, get rid of this.
Well, faith has one, from God's standpoint, faith has but one object and one purpose. And that's leaving law and going to grace. And there's no such thing as degree of faith. There's either faith or no faith. Now, the great scripture that's used when people say, when I've said that many years ago on the radio, is that people would call up and get all bent out of shape and say, well, what about if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed? You can say to that mountain, and that starts a little, to every man is given a measure of faith. Well, what it says is to every man is given the same measure of faith. And what it says about the mustard seed has nothing to do with the quantity or size of the seed. It has to do with the fact that the mustard seed knows it's a mustard seed. Mm-hmm. And so the mustard seed, if he is out of the ground, is in a no-faith position. If he's in the ground, the mustard seed is in a total faith position. And it doesn't matter what it looks like to anybody looking at the mustard seed, or the mustard seed looking at itself. If it's in the ground, it's in total faith, and it doesn't matter whether it's just starting to get rotten on the outside, or it's driving roots into the ground, or it's coming up out of the ground, or it's a finished. It's always total faith. The status of that faith is only dependent, or it's only the business of the one whom the faith is in. Do you understand that? The business of faith is God's. The status of faith is either you're in it or you're not in it. There's no degrees of. And the aspect of faith that makes it universal is that it has absolutely nothing to do with your intelligence, your environment, your emotional stability, your hormones. It has nothing to do with anything other than whether you're in it or out of it. It has nothing to do with how well you understand the scriptures. It has nothing to do with how long you've been a quote-unquote believer, whatever the hell that means. It has nothing to do with anything other than you're in total faith or you're in no faith. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with whether or not you know the Greek words for a bunch of, I mean the Greek meanings for a bunch of words. Has nothing to do with whether you've studied the Talmud and the Zohar for 15 years. It has nothing to do with whether or not you're doing anything from anybody's standpoint. You're either in faith or no faith. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's black and white. Okay. From God's standpoint, everything in time and space is darkness. Understand that? The night when Jesus died on the cross, just before he died, he said, the night cometh when no man can work. And so, from God's standpoint, the new day began at the moment of his crucifixion, therefore the night came. Everything in time and space, from the day of the crucifixion until the end of time, is night. It's the Jewish concept of the day. It goes from the evening till the next evening. We are in the eighth day. The darkness cometh when no man can work. So, in the concept, from God's standpoint, you as an individual, your entire life, are walking in darkness. Now, darkness, there are degrees of darkness. But the degree of darkness has nothing to do with God. It has to do with the false light that you have lit for yourselves. The false lights that you have lit for yourself to have a degree of being able to move around. The match to light that false light is always comparisons. Are always the matches are always comparisons. Understand that? The moment you think that you are in a position that is better off than anyone else or any singular else, then you have lit a false light, and therefore you have left faith and you found life in your hand. This is really important. Therefore, the evidence that you are walking in the false light is ever and always your response to external stimulus. Now, your response to external stimulus is not an excuse to judge yourself. In other words, if you quote-unquote respond incorrectly by this definition, therefore, if you respond incorrectly, the normal inclination, the vanity of the mind of the Gentile is, well, I'll light a brighter light. I'll pray better. I will do something better. I will learn to do this. I will confess better. I will do something to change my life. I will do something vis-a-vis, I'll study the scriptures more. I will do a whole ton of things. I'll even you've learned all these new tricks, I'll read the Psalms of Ascent. I'll say, get thee behind me, Satan.
I am a Christian.
I will say anything to light my own light. I will go to church more. I will come to Bible study more. I will stop doing something. I will, because stopping doing something is another way of lighting your own light. Understand? You have said, because you have, let's read that. You all know it. It's become the scripture of record of late.
This must be Isaiah 57.
You don't have to go there. At that moment when there is a feeling of conviction, you understand, you are wearied. And you say, thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. For thou hast found the life of thine hand. Therefore wast thou not grieved. Now,
where did you get that?
Isaiah 57, verse 10. This is the understanding of this, the penetration of this, is what will cause all of us to be able to cast down our imaginations. You understand a little bit?
So, I'm not sure I do, but is it that he's saying, you say you're worried, but you're really not worried because you keep saving yourself?
Because you will do something in and of yourself, especially religious stuff.
Just in a different way?
No, you'll get righteousness from it automatically. You will say, I will now learn to pray better, or I will come back to the Bible study, or I will come back to the group, or I will go to a different church, or I will, you will change your condition in some way. I'll read the Bible more. I will, any of a thousand and one things. You understand? There is no thing that you can do when your eyes are on yourself other than say there is no hope.
So it's the opposite of creating a vacuum by saying, here it is.
Yeah. The moment, that's why whatsoever things are gained to me are a loss for Jesus Christ. Now, I can't tell you how religious each of you are in this arena. I mean, you make fun of Jerry Falwell or all the rest of them, but you're doing exactly the same thing. You found the life in your hand. You found the light in your hand, but you have lit it. You're going to pray better. You're going to... Oh, God. Who knows? I mean, do you understand the things that you do?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of you don't do any of this stuff. The reason is that you will do any and everything to avoid faith. Because faith will kill you. The entrance into faith is the necessary entrance into faith is there is no hope.
Amen.
Now this is the opposite from all of religion. Not just religion out there, religion in here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you will find a law. And that will cause you, and you'll think it's so righteous. And you'll come to me and ask me, well, what should I do now? You will find a law rather than say there is no hope. And the moment you find the law, then you have created the Jerusalem of the flesh, and therefore you are in bondage. Therefore, the only response is to cast out the bondwoman and her son. Bring this down a little bit. Okay, then, what about all this good stuff? The light is, the speed of light is fascinating. Because when I turn that on, from anything that you can perceive, the light is fully on. Unless you have a rheostat. Rheostats are an interesting spiritual type, which we won't discuss tonight. The light is either on or off. On or off. On or off. Doesn't take any amount of time because it's the speed of light. It doesn't take any amount of study. You know, it doesn't take anything. Question is, who's pulling the string? The letter killeth. Now, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. It's always Jesus Christ that is raised from the dead. But he didn't raise himself. Ever. There's no hope. Jesus is raised from the dead. around life a little bit, getting some shit, getting chastisement is what you get into. Chastisement comes along. You say, okay, now there's no hope. Now, what we want to do is we want to, I wish I had one. We want to have that light on a rheostat.
What's a rheostat?
Something that you can turn, adjust the
dimmer.
Find them in your better motels.
You
would
know.
We want to turn that light on just enough so it won't kill us.
The main thing is I want to have my hand control the on-off of the light.
You know what this reminds me of? These old movies where the people get into the pyramid and they pull the medallion or what something, and all the gold starts coming in, and they're getting all the gold, and the gold keeps coming. You know.
And then they die.
They got all the gold, yeah.
Because the gold covers them up. Does everybody understand this? Don't say you understand it.
I've seen a glimmer of it anyway. Mm-hmm. It's
funny.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. I didn't hear what you said.
I've seen a glimmer of it.
Now, fortunately, I'm not going to give you any fortunately.
No, we don't do that.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. It doesn't say, this doesn't mean, it's not talking about the pornographers. It's talking about their deeds as their works, ergo. It's the nature of the beast. That's why Christ said iniquity was self-effort of any kind. Mind-blowing stuff. It's not a little bit different. It's exactly opposite. I want you to have your ears circumcised so that you can hear that. Not so that you can parade yourself, but so that you can have compassion. I want you to carefully listen to any readings, anything, and please carefully listen to it. And I want you to see how much, in fact, every teaching that I'm aware of today is a different degree of turning that dimmer switch rather than saying there's no hope. The radicalness of saying there is no hope at every instant, then he is resurrected from the dead by the power that resurrected him from the dead, not your own, not even his. Do you see how evil our desires for how-tos are? Total faith, no faith. Total faith, no faith. Total revelation, no revelation. Total peace, no peace. Total joy, no joy. Why? Because we love the darkness more than the light, because our deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, That's not talking about somebody else. It's talking about you. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God.
Yeah. I have a question. What is coming to the light?
There's no hope. On the world of history, on the world of time and space, God has several laser beams. And it doesn't matter where you are, the moment you see the totality of the darkness, light comes on. That's called, in the other places in the scriptures, your first love. As you received him, so walk you in him. But we, modern Christianity, all of it, including us, I'm not exempting anybody, is exactly the same as the Jewish nation at the time of Christ. They are born into the promise after their understanding, and then they think their activities are going to cause them to have rightness. Modern Christianity is born again, quote unquote, by their definition, into the Jewish nation, and then think that their activity is going to bring them rightness. Now,
I don't understand why Christ isn't hope.
Hmm?
I don't understand why Christ isn't hope.
Because Christ is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's never going to teach you the way. He's never going to give you hope. He's never going to give you life. Mm-hmm. If you think that Christ is
isn't light what we hope for?
No.
What else do we
hope? Well, that's light is what the human race hopes for.
Yeah.
I want to be boss.
We love darkness.
So, yeah, so that's the only hope that's authentic?
No, the only hope, period.
Yeah.
Is him.
Well, you said before there's no hope.
But the...
So that's why...
No. There's no hope for you.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, I just couldn't understand. I thought you were...
He is hope.
I thought you were saying that there was no hope, as in Christ there's no hope.
No, but there isn't.
He doesn't represent that.
No, there isn't any hope for Lee in Christ.
I don't understand.
What does crucifixion mean to you?
That there was something completed at that time that offered us all an opportunity to be sanctified?
No. That's exactly wrong. That's opposite from truth.
So what does it mean?
It means that you are dead.
So then Christ is the only life.
Pardon?
So then Christ is the only life.
There's only two lives in history. Adam and Christ. There's only two men in history. And Christ was the last Adam.
So then what was Moses?
Moses was was a figure, a type. He was an Adam that was a figure of Christ. I am crucified. What does that mean? Does it mean that therefore I have hope? It means therefore I am dead. But do you see the subtlety? As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing confuse your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. The greatest confusion of the simplicity is to say that there is hope for Lee.
I'm not necessarily saying that it's regarding me.
Well, I think you are. I think you are really saying, what you are really saying, is that you think there is hope for Lee in Christ. I think that's what you really believe. But, you know, it's no different than anybody else. If you believe that you can be improved, or that your condition will be improved, then you believe that there is hope for you in Christ. Therefore, you have not understood the preaching of the cross. Am I coming across?
Too clear.
Something just hit me between the eyes when you said, as you received him, so walking in him. When you said that, I remembered the state I was in at a point in time and space. The condition that I was in. And I heard that scripture say that, you know, it's not do this. That scripture is a description of a state. And when I saw that, I realized I'm still in the same condition I was at that point in space and time. And I will stay in that condition for the rest of space and time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not going to change. And that condition is crucified.
Yeah.
And thinking anything other than that is an imagination.
I went over to talk to Haley about a week ago, and essentially what I said was, there's no hope. And he said, you're right. And you know, he didn't report me. Yeah, I agree. The light was.
See, we've taken all of the words, like redeemed, sanctified, justified, and we've applied them to the flesh.
I've been thinking that I'm better off than I was, and getting better.
You see, it's total light or total darkness in deception. How did the serpent beguile Eve? He beguiled Eve with the idea that her state or condition would improve. No?
No, it's overwhelming.
You see, I have to say this because it's here. I am praising God if in the group or body that you teach in and talk to and are affiliated with, and that preacher, if he's preaching the cross.
Run that by me again.
I will. I mean, I am praising God if he is preaching the cross. Mm-hmm. I'll make you a promise. If he's preaching the cross, we will quit and go there.
Amen.
Okay. We'll come, and I'll say it for me. I will quit and go there. Okay. It doesn't matter how close you are to the cross. There's only one preaching of the cross, one preachment of the cross. That's why it says, preaching of the cross is foolishness. But unto us who are being saved, it is the power. Hallelujah. Nothing else is the power. Not nice, pretty sayings. Not... Luther said this incredible statement. He said I'm almost afraid to say this one. Luther said that the written word is no threat to the world, to the flesh, or to the devil. But by the preaching, they run like hell. No. What is faith? After light of all that, what the fuck is faith? Do you see how you secretly have believed that you will get more faith the longer you stay here? Or you will have more faith if you're able to cast down your imaginations? Or you'll have more faith if the high place identity is killed? You won't have anything. You will die.
You know what? What I was just doing, and it was so subtle, it blew me away. I was thinking that, you know, myself personally, I don't want anything changed. It's okay. But my circumstances, you know, some things I would like changed. And then the more I thought, I started thinking, no, that's all I think about is changing myself, you know, if I can be taller or whatever. My situation. And so after I thought about that, I mean, I'm just like, that's all I think of. And the next thing I thought of was, this is terrible. How can, you know, this is horrible, you know, and I started worrying about it. And it's like, I was wanting that to get better, to change that. You know, it's like a mirror, you look in the...
Now, can you see the subtlety of Satan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if it were possible, he would deceive even the very elect. Do you see how your minds automatically can you see what the beast looks like that has been wounded unto death but has been resurrected? You know what, the word, you know, you've all heard me teach on this. You know what the word born again means? No. The word born again means extant from the first estate. That means existent from the very beginning. In him only hath immortality.
Yeah.
The only begotten Son. Son doesn't get better. Do you understand that no one but Jesus can prophesy?
You don't get almost dead.
This testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You all think that if you go a little bit longer, then you'll prophesy. No, you won't. Jesus will. You won't. For this cause I die daily. Does it make any sense to you? Are you seeing a little bit? Now let's go, let's look and see what faith is then. Let's go to the, every one of you can repeat it. I guarantee you don't know what it means.
I hate this shit. You know,
you'd be
here a long time.
You'd be here 10 years.
And you still can't
serve a faith. No, that's why it's so neat. It's like, that's what I said to him the other, to what's his name? Who's the guy that lies on the floor?
Larry.
That's why the Talmud is full of these stories. It says, you know, they come to the rabbi and said, it's as though I never heard Torah before in my life.
Mm-hmm. And all that stuff about, you know, the people who learn a lot don't know anything, but give it to babies and they understand it right away.
You said, reading, smiling inappropriately. It's like...
Your warfare is completed. You're dead.
The reason I'm... I'm grinning because there's a secret over here that maybe you know, but nobody else in the room knows, and that is, in this chair, there's sitting a dead body that, for one reason or another, has not rotted. You can't tell.
Yeah.
But this is a dead body. This body died about 10 years ago.
And the this body died 2,000 years ago.
Well, I'm not there yet. All I know is I don't understand what you meant when you said 2,000 years ago, not 7 years ago.
Or 10 years
ago. 10 years
ago. Died at the cross.
Go to 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 13. For whether we be beside ourselves, crazy, depressed, out of sorts, weird, whatever the status is, other than what the next one is, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or that whether we be sober, which means normal, from a spiritual standpoint. Normal just means, or sober means, that your concern is for other people. You're out of the picture. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Oh, it says that right there. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Well, then who are you?
What the hell are we doing here?
If you're all dead, who are you? Either that scripture, there's either something wrong with that scripture or there's something wrong with our understanding. Which one do you want to bet is wrong?
I'll put $50 on
our understanding.
My mind.
Something wrong.
My mind.
Now, let's go someplace else. Let's go to Romans 6. Romans 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Romans 5, verse 20. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life, by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Okay. The way our minds hear that, unless you read it through the cross, is that that's a moral option. You see? That's, God, he's not saying that's a moral option. He's saying it's an impossibility. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? It's his death 2,000 years ago. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. We were crucified, now we're buried. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Not should as a moral option, but will.
What does it mean by the glory of the Father?
Well, the power, the...
Well, I mean, I think when I hear the word glory now, I see the Mount of Transfiguration.
Well, that was the glory of the Father. That's why he was raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead because he completed the way at the Mount of Transfiguration. You understand that? Had he not been had he not been transfigured, his crucifixion would have been worthless. Mm-hmm. Now, therefore, he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. When you see, I know what my problem is. By
You see, that's a
the word "by" there. Yeah, the word "by" doesn't mean it's like. I just saw another one. I just saw it. Where the hell did it go?
Probably ran back by baptism.
Where are we?
Buried by baptism.
Oh yeah.
Verse 4.
Yeah. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. Now, "by" there doesn't mean.
Something happened. Yeah. Right. This one. We just join.
Yeah, it's like I'm trying to think of a simile. The power of God in time and space is the glory of Jesus Christ. They're the same. Okay, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if, the word "if" there, again, it's the word that, it's in us, it sounds like it's a moral option. I mean the word in English, but in the Greek it's eis. And it means, in view of the fact. For in view of the fact that we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if, again, in view of the fact we are dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Now, the only way that you can understand this is to understand, first of all, that we have been baptized into his death, we have been crucified with him, that in that he died for all are dead. That means that from our birth, we have been operating in the power of the false identity. You have never been anything other than Christ in hairy form. Ever.
All right, now that's why I'm having trouble with this. Because when I read this still, I'm in the state now. Okay. Sin reigned, grace reigns. A crossover point in time and space. Baptized into him. A point in time and space. All of these things, I read these as events...
That happened to you.
That happened to me at some point in this 43 years now.
Okay, therefore...
That there was a crossover point, translated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
No. No, again, here, what? That's because you're thinking in linear time.
I understand that, but that's what...
Again, you think that you, when you say you were born again, that means you think that you can, you know, if you're in that bent in Christianity, you can define a date.
Yeah, or change.
Yeah.
A point of change, a point of departure. Well, you know, maybe you can. But from God's standpoint, you can't. Again, you have been identified with Him from the very beginning.
So when you say there are only wrestles.
Vessels.
Vessels of mercy.
Right.
You are only a container. You either contain the God of this world or the God of the universe.
Right.
You are not talking about the first 18 years of your life you contain the God of this world and then suddenly you contain the God of the universe. You're talking about the light being on or off.
Right.
And it happens all the way along.
Right.
See, the idea of being, making a decision for Christ or getting saved, like the summit point or the other one, way down in my mind, and it's almost impossible to ever
exile. Because all that has happened is...